This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Yeah, it's going to be a rock and roll weekend, isn't it? Oh, we got a lot to talk about, you and I, between now and darn near 2 o'clock this afternoon. From the Northern Kia Studios, you got Hawks and Falcons and a little bit of Braves, because they got some news too, all right? You know how this works. Welcome to it. John Friggy with you on a Saturday morning. Yeah, getting all fired up early. All right, so this is how this works here, okay? 404-726-0929 is the phone number. 404, I got to say it slow for all you in Acworth. 404-726-0929, okay? 404-726-0929. You are a guest, not a caller on my shows. Maybe a caller on other shows. On my show, you're a guest. We may not agree. We can disagree as long as we aren't disagreeable about it. I disagree with a number of callers. I see things the way I see things. You see things the way you see things. That's the way kind of life works, you know? I mean, you're attracted to certain kind of women. I'm attracted to a guy or whatever. I mean, we're all a little bit different, you know? So we're not going to see things, everything, you know, the same. But that doesn't mean we can't form some agreement on some areas. Like, for example, I think broadly, I'll give you an example. Broadly, we all agree that all the teams in Atlanta need to be better. Okay? We all agree that all the teams in Atlanta need to be better. And that includes the Braves, by the way. They all need to be better. Question is, how do we make them better? What's the best way to go about it? To that end, of course, the Hawks made some news here with moving around trades, for lack of a better term, and we'll talk to our basketball expert, DeShawn Tate. I want to get his take on that, and then we'll launch into some of those calls. Falcons, of course, always continue to make news because we are knocking on the door of the NFL Combine, which is coming up in a couple of weeks in Indianapolis, so we'll have that, and we have to talk about that as well. What are they going to do moving forward? Free agency is going to be a month away. Legal tampering starts on March 10th. What do they do with Kirk Cousins? How do they handle this offseason? What, you know, would they have any money to be able to do anything? I know Myles Garrett is out there and people are talking about that. So a lot to get into with the Falcons and the Braves as well, because, pardon me, got a little spring cold going on. The Braves have pitchers and catchers are Wednesday. You know, so I will just tell you that. All right, so this is how we're going to roll here as we go through this Saturday. We got Hawks, we got Falcons, we got Braves. And obviously it is Super Bowl Saturday. If you want to talk about the big game, we can get into that as well. Noel White is running the ship back at the main shop here. Noel, how you doing?
Pretty good this morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I got a little bit of a spring cold going, so you'll have to forgive me for a second here. What's shaking in your world? Noel, give me your thoughts about the Hawks and what happened. with the trades?
Oh, man. I mean, the positive side, you know, you traded some bodies that you weren't really getting a lot out of to get some potential help, and you got some more long bodies and wingspans and 3D players and all of that good stuff. So it's probably the best you could do to make a run out of this season. But what the question mark I have now is, what are the Hawks going to do about this potential Trey Supermax contract? That's now the next question for me.
Well, I think they cleared out a lot of money. I mean, the whole point of this, you know, there was some rumor that they were making a run at Kevin Durant, and Durant comes out and says, they were really trying to trade me? Oh, stop it, dude. Stop. Really? Can't you see what your team is doing? You know, I mean.
Right. You know Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause. Come on, Doug. Come on, dude.
You know, so, and, yeah, you know, it, yeah. Phoenix has got a retool down there. You know this. This is not. Is this a shock to you? So, the whole point of this was to dump salary. And so they dumped Dre's salary. They dumped Bogey's salary. They dumped the $3.5 million that they were totally wasteoid with Cody Zeller to get the rights to Alpha Kappa. So they dumped Cody Zeller's contract in order to get a zero on it, which is what they did. They dumped Trey's salary. Bones Highland, they just cut. I mean, they'll just eat the money for the rest of this year. Then he's got an expiring contract. He's a zero. Carlos Levert at the end of the year is a zero. Larry Nance Jr. at the end of the year is a zero. Clint Capella at the end of the year is a zero. So you have basically, unless you re-sign some of those guys, you have basically dumped Bones Highland, Caris LeVert, Larry Nance Jr., Clint Capella, Bogey, and Dre. All of those salaries come off your books at the end of the year. And Cody Zeller, all of them. I don't know what that is. 22, 11 for Larry Nance, 15 for Bogey. That's what, 22, 37, 48, 4 for Clint. You know, I think you're looking at about $70 million. You just dumped. Now, you may re-sign Caris LeVert or Larry Nance Jr., not re-signing Clint, but right now you have $70 million to play with, Noel. $70 million. Under the luxury tax.
Yeah, that could turn into something positive depending on what free agency looks like when it comes up. So now that all the doom and gloom is shook off and the shock of the trades and the compensation and all of that good stuff, we're probably moving in the best direction possible.
Well, I don't ever want to assign, because we don't know. I don't want to ever assign, you know, the negative here. I know that, look, all of us are frustrated. I'm frustrated. This is my 50th year as a Hawks fan. I got nothing to show for it. I don't even have an NBA Finals to show for it, let alone an NBA championship. So, it's frustrating. Do you trade Trey? It's one of the questions that we'll ask today. You know, do you get into that? I'll ask that to Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson. Oh, my God. I can't believe I did that to Deshaun Tate. Deshaun Tate, our basketball expert, in a few minutes. You know, is that the direction you're going to go to? So we have a lot going on here. We have the Super Bowl. Are you excited, Noel, about the Super Bowl? Are you pumped up for it? It is the Super Bowl. It's two really good teams. Are you all into it?
I'm excited because it's the Super Bowl, but this is not my dream matchup. I did not want a repeat of Chiefs-Eagles, but it's the match we got.
Well, I mean, they're the two best teams, and they're proven they're the two best teams. And look how the Falcons did against those two teams, by the way. I mean, they almost went 2-0, if not for a bad referee's call against Kyle Pitts in the end zone, right?
Yeah. It shows you the heights of what that Falcons squad could be at that time. That's why we were so excited at a point here.
You know, so Tom Brady, who's going to be doing the broadcast, yawn, is out there, you know, firing back at all this ref, the refs favor of the Chiefs stuff. He says it's all BS. I'm like, you know, the problem with that, Tom, is everybody who says this, whether it's Dean Blandino or Tom Brady, I mean, on the surface, I understand what they're saying. You know, there's no provable bias towards the Kansas City Chiefs. There's no, you know, certainly no effort. You know, it's not like they're joining in some collusion to get the Kansas City Chiefs into the Super Bowl. Okay, I'll buy all that. But is there an inherent under-the-water bias towards the Kansas City Chiefs? Yes. Of course there is. They're getting calls that nobody else gets. And I just hope, for the sake of the Super Bowl coming up tomorrow, the one thing I will say is I really hope there isn't a blatant missed call, because there are going to be missed calls in the game. We all know that, because somebody will tweet a picture of, oh, they missed holding on this call, and some guy's got to, you know, grab somebody. You know, that happens every game, right? But I'm talking about a blatant, game-changing missed call, like a flag on, you know, roughing the passer on somebody, you know, went by the ear of Patrick Mahomes and went, and then, oh, that's roughing the passer. You know, something that totally changes the complexion of the game in the fourth quarter or something like that. I hope for the sake of the NFL, nothing like that happens. Because if something like that happens, oh, my God. You know, because there's already the belief that the Kansas City Chiefs get calls that nobody else gets. Why is there that belief? Because the Kansas City Chiefs get calls that nobody else gets. How do we know this? We've all seen it with our own eyes. Whether Brady calls it BS and says there's nothing to it, or Dean Blandino comes out and says, oh, this is ridiculous. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Tom. Sorry, Dean. We all see it.
Yeah, I don't really want to hear that from the Tuck Rule guy, to be honest.
No, right. Yeah, especially for the Tuck Rule guy.
Bad octaves. Bad octaves.
You know, so we all see this. We all see it, okay? There's absolutely, they favor the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just maybe not technically something that's being, they're not sitting around going, how do we do this? But they look for stuff inside the Kansas City Chiefs that they don't look for in other teams, that they just ignore. Because literally the most blatant call that went the Chiefs' way this season of all the calls. You can talk about, you know, the Bills, whether it was a first down on third down or a first down on fourth down or this or that. The most blatant call in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs was us. I mean, the Kyle Pitts in the end zone, oh, my God. He's being tackled while sticking his arms out and the ball is 3 feet away from him. He's being tackled and there was no flag. It was blatant pass interference. Look. I can't stand the Swampers, but that call against the Rams, my God, that was awful. It was terrible. Were I a Swamper fan, well, if I were a Swamper fan, I'd have to go rob a 7-Eleven, go to prison, and then I'd be a Swamper. But anyway, I'm not going to do all that. So anyway, were I a Swamper fan, I would be livid about that call, okay? Because it was horrifically bad. I mean, they have every right to be. You could storm the yard on that one. I don't blame you. It was horrifically bad. That's how bad the Kyle Pitts call was. Now, if they throw the flag, does it automatically mean the Falcons are going to win because they get first down and goal at the one and all that? No, it doesn't. But you can't not throw the flag. You know what I'm saying? Because it was so blatant. And that's the problem, is that any other team in the NFL, a flag is thrown. Do you think if it's reversed, if there's a Chiefs receiver in the end zone, if Travis Kelce is in the end zone and he's sticking his hands out and, you know, Dee Alford is hitting him, you know, way early and tackling him, do you think they're just going to, No. Of course not. And we'd all say, yeah, okay. Defensive back, and I won't use Dee's name because I don't know, be unfair to him. But, hey, Falcons defender, that was really stupid. Oh, my God. We'd be calling our own teams idiots for doing that, right? Right? Of course. Because it's blatant, and we can't argue that it was blatant pass interference. So I just hope for the sake of the Super Bowl tomorrow, there isn't a – they'll miss calls. There'll be some calls that are like, oh, okay. But just don't have that call, okay? Don't have that roughing the passer on Mahomes when you go, you know, or he's headed out of bounds and somebody just touches him and he falls to the ground because he's got the whole flop thing down, right? I mean, he's got that whole Vlade Divac flop thing down and he's really good. It's like WWE good where he gets, you know, somebody just touches him and he falls to the ground like he's been hammered with a sledgehammer, bam, you know, no, you just touch him and he falls. So he's pretty good at doing that. And drawing flags that way. And should that happen on third down and six with a minute and a half to go, or fourth down and six on a minute after automatic first down and then touchdown, they win. Oh, my God. So I just hope for the sake of the game that doesn't happen. All right, we got DeShawn Tate coming up in a few minutes. We're going to talk to him about the Hawks, the wild trade deadline, what he thinks the Hawks are going to do, touch a little bit about college basketball, because we got to start talking a little bit about college basketball and getting ready for March Madness. Also ahead, Falcons. We have to talk about the Falcons today. You know, how close are they to making a Super Bowl run? There was a big discussion we had the other night. I believe it was on Tuesday about whether or not Myles Garrett, not saying the Falcons are going to get him, but whether or not Myles Garrett, can one guy change the defense? I think he can. But you may not agree, and we can get back into that. And then the Braves are going to show up on Wednesday down at Cool Today Field. And what are they doing about their pitching staff? How are they going to play this spring training? It's all ahead today. You'll be a guest on the show. First up, though, our basketball expert, Deshaun Tate, going to jump in, kind of get his take on the Hawks and more as we continue on this Saturday morning. Fake spring is in full bloom here in Atlanta. On Sports Radio 92 and The Game.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sports Radio 92 on The Game from the Northern Kia Studios on a Saturday morning. Feels like spring training outside. Also might feel a little bit like March Madness because it feels like spring. This is fake spring. For those of you who are new to Atlanta, this is like if you were up north, you know what Indian summer is. Yeah, this is fake spring, okay? Which is, don't let this fool you. There's still more. It's going to be, yeah, that's the way it works. Deshaun Watson is a basketball expert. Dribble, dribble, shoot, score. He has been with this station for years and years and has shown to be one of the leading basketball experts, certainly on the air today here. And it is my pleasure to welcome my old friend Deshaun back to the airways with me. Been a minute, Deshaun, for you and I to talk.
It has been a little while, and just when I was going to give you some credit, thanks for having me on, by the way, I'm like, did I just hear someone say March Madness? But then you turned around and called me Deshaun Watson. What is that about, John?
I couldn't believe I did that. You know why I did that, Deshaun? You know why I did that, Tate?
Okay. Because here you go, trying to cover it up.
I'll tell you exactly why I did it.
Compliment sandwich coming.
No. The reason I did it is because I'm an old guy. It just, when you get old, you just start rolling with stuff, you know? You're so used to saying things. You know, trust me, when you get to be my age, you'll say stuff and somebody will say, huh? You just said, yeah, sorry, okay.
All good. No worries, no worries. It wouldn't be me if I didn't bust you up a little bit.
No, it's okay, Tate. I got you. That's what I'll just use. I use his last name because it just works. Deshaun Tate is the host of the Locked On Hawks postcast, recapping every Hawks game immediately after the Hawks game. So let's kind of begin there with our discussion today, Deshaun. Let's talk about last night's game. Weird game. I mean, they couldn't stop anybody at 47 points by the Bucks without Giannis in the second quarter. I'm like, oh, my God. And then the Bucks couldn't shoot to save their lives in the second half.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And then there were some instances where I felt like we had – Bobby Portis out there almost looking like his name is Bobby Curry, for crying out loud. But it was really a game of runs, which obviously the Hawks outlasted the Bucks. But You know, a couple, you know, 16, you know, I think, what was it? The Hawks went on a 19-2 run in the first quarter. And then all of a sudden, Milwaukee goes on a 16-4, two of them actually in the second quarter. And then the Hawks end up with a 16-2 run in the third quarter, 25 points. But I think ultimately what kind of, you know, the determining factor was the fact that beginning the fourth quarter, holding Milwaukee scoreless for the first 4 minutes of the game, and obviously the second half is where they kind of caught lightning in a bottle a little bit. And let's just be real. And I know some people are going to say, oh, not another one of these conversations we're having about being competitive. And that's something that we couldn't always say in this particular market with this franchise, is that no matter who has or who has not been on the floor, and I get it, the losses are the losses. They went on an 8-game losing streak and all this other stuff, but they have been competitive in every game. And I think ultimately the things that have kind of stuck out like a sore thumb to me has been the free throw shooting, has been the 3-point shooting and the turnovers. And as bad as that has looked, if they can find a way, some way, somehow, they might be shooting them, if I'm the coach, all day in practice and shoot arounds. But, you know, those would be the three key things that I think that they really need to work on the most. And we wouldn't even be having very many conversations that could change them from looking like a play-in team, even with all the injuries, to still being in position to be within the top six or seven in the East. But no, the Hawks are, you know, it's still a work in progress, and I'm not sure anybody has done more with less than what Quinn Snyder has done.
Oh, good Lord, it's been a work in progress for 50 years. I mean, come on, it's like, stop. So I get right. The whole thing, Deshaun, of always having to wait till next year. Oh, wait till next year. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It just drives you nuts. So my takeaway from the trade deadline was, I think the Hawks tried to make they had a couple of golden pieces. Those are those, the expiring contracts in Clint and Nance. I think they tried to make a big move and just couldn't pull it off. And, you know, people asked for too much. They wanted Clint and Nance and Dre and three number ones or something. And the Hawks are just like, no, we can't, you know. So they're at where they're at with this young team. Of course, not with Jalen at the moment. But they pick up four. Now they have four expiring contracts. Well, one they just cut in Highland. They unload the Dre contract. They unload the Cody Zeller pointless thing. They unload the Bogey contract. They could have $70 million to play with under the luxury tax at the end of the year. I think this team is bound for at least one more year. And tell me if you think so. I think this team, by doing this at the trade deadline, is bound for one more year of, all right, let's see if we can get the young guys to grow. We've got some money to go out and make a deal here to pick up a couple of free agents and rebuild the bench. And then let's see what happens next year with, Jalen healthy and Zach with the second year and Okongwu's growth and Dyson's growth. And let's see if we can't make a run with this. And if we can't, that's the point at which you say, okay, we have to move on from Trey.
Move on from what?
Move on from Trey. I mean, you got to do him right. You're not gonna. You're not gonna supermax him at that point. If you can't make it work next year, then you can't supermax a guy and just drag this out for another 5 years.
Yeah, I know, and God forbid you end up losing him. It's hard for me to imagine them trying to make a move on the guy who, in my own personal opinion, is probably the best thing since Dominique Wilkins to walk through the doors. The issue here for me is that, sometimes it's like, man, are we kind of tired of seeming like we're living in mediocrity all the time? And obviously the salary dumps and everything else is a big deal because, you get somebody like a DeAndre Hunter, you move him off the books. Don't forget you moved up to go and get him number four in that draft, and he hasn't looked like that. And obviously the injury issues that he's had, and finally you get a chance to have him look like what you drafted. And then so, you got to get your best value for him while you can. And I kind of understand all of that stuff, playing the best basketball of his career. But I think that the concerning part with the moves that they made was that they just did not check the boxes of what they actually needed, right? A backup point guard. I get it. Bones Highland obviously doesn't appear to be a part of that. But you also didn't go and get somebody up front that I believe can actually make a move and go create a basket for themselves in the front court. So they didn't really address that. It appears that maybe by going to get George's Niang, that is your, you know, cheaper version of Bogey, maybe by going to get Caris LeVert. That is your, you know, option of replacing somebody like a DeAndre Hunter, who, by the way, and I know we're always talking about how good he's been, and definitely he has been. You go and look at his last eight games. Four of those eight games, he has combined for, I think, 2 of 26 or something kind of ridiculous like that from a perimeter shooting standpoint. So, you know, I kind of get as far as what the Hawks are trying to do, but I don't really have a lot of faith. I didn't have a lot of faith in them to make trades that is going to fill the needs that they have. I don't really have a lot of faith in the fact that, you know, that they're going to be active during free agency. So those things are things that are just a little bit concerning for me, John, if I'm really just being transparent about this team. Let me say this, and forgive me for being a little long-winded. I will say this, though, where there is somewhat of some silver lining a little bit to a degree. This was also a team that I wasn't thrilled or certainly was underwhelmed when they made the DeJounte trade, right? I'm like, all of this for this? But it ended up looking like something good has came out of it. Even in the draft where Zachary Risache was picked first, and of course I wasn't overly thrilled with that either, but it's starting to look like you got something out of those decisions that were made. So I don't mind being the person with the hand raised saying that I could have potentially been wrong. It just kind of looks like this team kind of peaked a little bit early, if I'm being honest, this season.
DeShaun Tate's college basketball and NBA expert, host of the Hawks postcast, and joining us on the WayForward.com hotline, talking a little bit about the Hawks and where we go from here. I mean, you know, the thing about Dre to me is you were paying him to be a star starter. You drafted him number 4 overall. He was the one who said, I want to go to the bench. He became a pretty, you know, pretty good sixth man, but you're not paying that salary for a sixth man. You're just not.
Correct.
Not, you know, you're just that's not what he's drafted to be. He's not what he's paid to be. You know, he's paid to be a star and star starter for you. And that he didn't want to do that job, didn't accept that role, didn't live up to that role. It was just simply time to move on. So we'll see what they do in the offseason. I got a couple of college basketball questions I'd like to throw at you since I have you here. So let's do a Hawks tie first. I mean, there are some young Hawks fans who don't remember when Mike Woodson was the head coach here, was for a number of years, took over a team that in his first year had the worst season we have ever seen. Gosh, that was 20 years ago. 13 wins. They were just terrible. And year over year over year, he got them better to the point where in his final year, they won 52, 53, 54. I mean, they won a whole bunch. And they still fired him. It was like, oh, okay. It took him a while to rebuild it, and then they let him go. So he goes back to his alma mater, Indiana. He has a ton of talent in Indiana, as witnessed by some of the things that some of the guys that he had there are doing in the NBA. But he's never won there. And it got frustrating for the fans at Indiana because he's a legend at Indiana. And now comes word that he's out at Indiana. And that becomes a, you know, whether they've been this or not, DeShaun, it is a blue blood program, and it becomes Mike Woodson on the outs. That's going to be a job that a lot of people desire. Can you see Indiana making a run at a Brad Stevens, a Bruce Pearl, a Chris Beard? I mean, there's going to be a lot of big name people who are going to be intrigued by that job.
Yeah, and I think that there should be, too. I get it. Maybe Indiana isn't. It's not that Indiana's not the same Indiana that they once were. I can see where they are and aren't. But in the ways that they definitely are, right? I really believe that there are a lot of that is just based on how unsuccessful that they have been. And I think that it only really takes a coach because it's not about the recruiting for them, I don't believe. It's not about any of the other stuff. It's about the coaching and haven't really gotten a guy in there that, you know, can meet, let alone exceed the expectations that come along still with Indiana basketball as a top-tier program and a blue blood. And with that being said, like, maybe, yeah, some of these names that you've mentioned between a Brad Stevens, and I can only imagine what some of these paychecks would like look like to get some of these guys. I mean, you got guys that have ties to the state of Indiana as well. You know, when you start, you know, talking about Dusty May, obviously that's probably something that's not going to happen. He's over at Michigan now, but, you know, we've already heard a lot about, you know, what his ties are with Bobby Knight and so forth. And then, of course, you got Bruce Pearl, who at one point in time, you know, at Southern Indiana, and it would be nice to see him go there. He's been successful everywhere that he's gone, maybe even to Nate Oates considerably. over there at Alabama. I don't think Kelvin Sampson would get another crack, nor would he probably want one. But T.J. Otzelberger at Iowa State, I think, is another name that could be kind of interesting. They've been, for the most part, a top five, certainly top 10 program all season long over there in Ames. And I mean, it's certainly a big name job, no question. But the Big Ten's still looking for, what has it been, 25 years now since my Spartans being the last Big Ten team
right.
to win a
Isn't
national
that unbelievable?
Championship.
Isn't
that is
that,
crazy.
I was at that game.
Crazy.
I was at that game in Indianapolis, yeah. Mateen Cleaves. I was yeah. actually there physically. I watched the game. That was Wisconsin, North Carolina, Florida, and they beat Florida and Miller in that game. 25 years ago, I was actually at that game at the Hoosier Dome. Oh, my God. So we're talking to DeShaun Tate. Let's talk a little bit because I got only a couple of minutes left. Let's get your thoughts on here. SEC having a phenomenal year here. Looks like they could get nine teams into the tournament here. Do you consider this March Madness to be kind of wide open, or are you looking at Alabama, you looking at Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, kind of the top of the SEC, and your team, Michigan State? Is it going to be some of these blue bloods and these really good teams, the UConns of the world, are going to rise to the top here, or is it going to be, in your opinion, just a mess that we're going to have teams just obliterate each other in March Madness?
I think it's going to be a combination of all things. Usually we start talking about around this time of the year, people are like, there's like 15 teams that can win a national championship. I never believe that there's that many, probably not even eight. I'm always thinking that there's typically usually a good handful, right, that I really believe that can do this. The thing with the SEC, as good as they've been all season long, and they definitely have, they've got two teams ranked in the top three, for crying out loud. Imagine what kind of game that's going to be when we do see Alabama and Auburn play, especially at Auburn with that crowd and that fan base. But, there's some of these teams I just don't really believe in down the tail stretch of the season, and with that being said, I think it'll be similar probably what we have in the Final Four to what we did the last time that it was in San Antonio in 18. We had one mid-major in a Loyola. We had a Power 5 team, but certainly not a, premier program like a Michigan at that time that went to national championship game. Then you had your Blue Bloods, you had Kansas, and you had Villanova. I could see something very similar to that happening. Make no mistake, I mean, the SEC has been really good. I think that, Kentucky had been my front runner for such a long time. I'm kind of taking more so on the Houston bandwagon now a little bit more than Kentucky to win the whole thing. I think it's Kelvin Sampson's time, but the SEC has been really, really good. I'm just not a believer as much that most of these teams can be considerably a Final Four team. If I had to name just one, I would probably say Alabama and Kentucky being the other.
Yeah, it's the tournament, final minute here, is it still a guard thing for Liam McNeely at UConn or Cooper Flagg at Duke? They could certainly carry you. But, if Mark Spears gets hot, Alabama goes a long way. It really just is. That's the way the tournament works, DeShaun.
You got to have the guards. You got to have the guards. You got to have the bench be able to go deep. And some of those big-name coaches are some of the bigger reasons behind why. But and just the experience even more so. We always talk about the five-star freshmen and everything else. Well, I think there's only been a little less than a handful of those on national championship teams. Since Duke did it in, 10 years ago, you go and look at those teams in the last 10 years, you see a lot of juniors, a lot of seniors, a lot of five-year seniors and things of that nature. I think that we'll follow suit with that this year.
Where can the fans find you on the Hawks postcast?
Yep, no problem. Atlanta, if you go to your YouTube and put in at if you go to your YouTube and put in Atlanta Sports, put in Atlanta Sports, it's right there. It's going to pop up for you. Any and everything Atlanta Hawks, Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On Hawks Postcast, me and Tanisha Batiste, another name that a lot of people are probably familiar with on this program if you listen regularly. We recap all 82 games, including playoffs, if they get that far. It's a lot of fun. It happens immediately after the game, and I'm grateful for everybody that goes and supports that. At Tate's Take Hoops on social media as well. Thanks so much for having me, Fricky.
As always, DeShaun, and I promise not to screw up your last name again. That's just an old guy.
Thanks for having me.
DeShaun Tate, he and our boy DeShaun and Tanitra, two people I've known for a long, long time, people that I like and admire, too, on their postcast there. All right, quick break here, and we'll get into your calls, 404-726-0929. Let's talk about the Hawks. Let's talk about the Falcons. Let's talk about the Braves. We have plenty of time to do so on a Saturday morning. Let's chat. You are a guest of mine. I'll set the table again as we get back here on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Sports Radio 92 on the Game. John Fricke at the Northern Kia Studios on a Saturday morning. We have 3 solid hours to talk, you and I. You are a guest on this program at 404-726-0929, and you are free to discuss whatever happens to be top of mind for you. I will throw out 3 things, and you can hit those, or if you do want to talk college basketball, if you want to talk about, I don't know, you want to talk about the Super Bowl, we can. I'm willing to talk about it. Honestly, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I don't care who wins. It doesn't make me, I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm not a Chiefs fan. So if the Chiefs win 3 in a row, bully for them. If the Eagles beat the Chiefs, bully for them. I hope it's a good game. I'll watch because it's the last football game of the year. But do I care who wins? No, couldn't care less. I mean, so, but if you have a dog in there and it's important to you, like, for example, do you hope and agree with me? If you're a Chiefs fan, do you agree with Tom Brady and Dean Blandino that you don't get calls? Because if you are a Chiefs fan who thinks that everybody like me and the rest of the nation is overblowing this, I'd like you to walk me through it because we all see it. And if you think it's just that it's unfair to your team, that's fine. Again, we could disagree without being disagreeable. If you call in and say that, if you're, you know, Chiefs Kingdom and you want to call in here and say this is, you know, bull crap and that you guys are, you know, making stuff up, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to agree with you, but I'm not going to scream at you and say, you are a cheater. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to say, okay, I see what I see. You see what you see. But you're welcome to do that as well, 404-726-0929. So the 3 things I've got for you today are Hawks, Falcons, and Braves. And for the Hawks, the question is, are you okay? Because it appears now that the Hawks are set on trying to win with Trey and a young team next year. Do you think that that is a successful idea? Because it may, by the way, it could be a successful idea. I think 1 more year with Trey is absolutely going to happen. I think I look at a starting 5 next year. Now, between now and next year, let's keep in mind, there are going to be some decisions made about the roster, but most of those decisions made about the roster are going to be bench decisions. The Hawks could have 2 first-round picks in the draft in June, 2. But they'll be mid-picks because one is from, you know, through different variations. It comes from Sacramento. And the other, for various things, comes from the Lakers. And so it could be like, they could end up with like 15 and 25. Let's just say that. I mean, we're talking about mid-picks. And maybe they could, you know, figure out a way to move up, package both of those, and move up a couple of spots. I don't know. I mean, but it doesn't look like, unless they collapse, it doesn't look like they're going to be, you know, potentially, you know, unless the Kings collapse, which doesn't look like it's going to happen, they're not going to be, they don't own their own pick. So they can't, somebody said they should tank for the lottery. They don't own their own pick. So as a result, if they tank, San Antonio wants the Hawks to tank because San Antonio has the Hawks' number 1 pick. San Antonio wants the Hawks to tank because then the Spurs get more ping pong balls in the lottery, okay? That's who's got our number 1 pick, not us. So tanking for us doesn't do any good. It's better for the Hawks to just go ahead and try and win. And then hope that Sacramento wins enough that pick conveys to them, because I think it's top 12 protected, and they'd have 2 first-round picks, all right? So they've got a lot of money. They got a couple of draft picks. Free agency starts end of June, 1st of July. They could go into free agency and get some. I don't think they're going to go. Usually and generally in free agency, there's not a whole lot to get in the NBA. This is why the trade deadline is so busy and so many big names get traded, is because free agency doesn't have, unless you want to go after Brandon Ingram and you want to spend all that money for Brandon Ingram, that's fine if you do, if they do in the offseason. I don't know that I see that. What I see with the Hawks is at least 1 more go with Trey. And they look at it and say, okay, Okongwu has developed into a guy that we believe can be a starting 5. Then you have Jalen coming back. You have Risa Shea, who will be a year older. Jalen will be a year older. Because keep in mind, the Hawks are a really young team. So Jalen will be a year older. He'll be healthy. Risa Shea will be a year older. He will, you know, have been through the wars here. He can go play in summer league and kind of, you know, get up to speed here. And then we have high hopes that he's going to continue to grow, that Jalen will be even better next year. Dyson's a really young guy. What's he, like 22? Dyson Daniels is really young. It's a young team. Dyson will be a year older and better. And then Trey is kind of, you know, developed into this role where he leads the world in assists, and that's our starting five. The starting five you have now, where Jalen healthy, is the starting five you'll have next year, and we are going to totally redo our bench with the money and the draft picks that we have. And I think that's what they're thinking now. We want to redo this bench, and, you know, will they bring back Larry Nance? Possibly. Could they decide to keep a Caris LeVert? Possibly. But they're going to need a veteran point guard. Is Mohammed Gay really going to be your number five backup guy, or are you going to have to go out and get a big? You know, they cut David Roddy. You know, so they want to solidify the bench, because that's obvious. They got rid of, who did they get rid of? Bogey and Dre. They're bench guys. They're star guys off the bench. So they want to rebuild that bench and then go with the young starting five. Now, my question to you about that, that's obviously the plan at the moment. My question is, are you okay with that? Do you think it'll work? Because that's what I think they're going to roll with next year. I think they're going to roll with Trey, Dyson, Zach, Jalen, Okongwu, and a rebuilt bench. Are you okay with that? Do you think it'll work? Or are we just wasting everybody's time here? 404-726-0929. As to the Falcons, we can get into this. You know, how close are they? Look at what they did against Kansas City. Should have beat them. Bad, horrible call. Maybe had them on the ropes. Kansas City even said, yeah, we didn't think we were going to win that game. They did go to Philadelphia and got out a win. Of course, that was good, Kirk Cousins. They're in week two. And Saquon did drop that pass, but still they won the game. So they beat the Eagles. They should have beaten the Chiefs. Could have beaten the Chiefs. They had opportunities to be a far better team, and without understanding this whole Kirk Cousins debacle of a mess, because it is a debacle of a mess. The thing that would have helped so much is that when Kirk Cousins got hurt against the Swampers, that he would have gotten hurt worse. That would have been that he could have actually not, you know, lied about not being hurt, and would have had, you know, if he had broken his shoulder or something, and then we would have had to put Penix in. Because if we had had to put Penix in, you can't convince me this team wouldn't have won the South. Sorry, I think that's what a, well, you know, it's a team game, John. They didn't play defense. The, you know, confused in the back end, you know, all this. So, but then again, maybe also it led to some good things too. I mean, if Penix leads them to the NFC South crown, Jimmy Lake might not get fired as defense coordinator. I'm just saying, it'd be Raheem saying, hey, I got to keep all my guys. I won. I did what I did. And we'd still be stuck with Jimmy Lake next year. So, we'll see how this kind of all plays out for the Falcons. My question to you is, how close are they, do you think, to winning the NFC South and therefore making a playoff run and therefore, once you get into the playoffs, making a run at the Super Bowl? I think they're pretty close. I think the Falcons are pretty close. I think they need to do a couple of things on offense. We'll see if they decide. I don't believe the Falcons are going to trade Kyle Pitts. I could be wrong. I have been wrong before in my life. I'm married twice. Okay? We all make mistakes. So I could be wrong. But I don't think they're going to trade Kyle Pitts. I think they're going to go ahead and play him this year. They could trade him if they want to try and get. But if somebody's not going to give you a third-round pick or better for him, I just don't see them trading Kyle Pitts. I think that Michael Penix said that, boy, he's really looking forward to playing with Kyle Pitts. I think that's kind of a leading indicator that, to me, that there is no intention of the front office to trading Kyle Pitts. I think they want to see what Michael Penix can do with Pitts and with Drake London. And certainly on offense, they've got to go out, I think, and get another wide receiver, either through the draft or free agency. They could use a little bit of backup help and support again on the offensive line. But aside from that, of course, now I think you're going to need a backup quarterback because, you know, Kirk Cousins ain't going to be here. So you need a backup quarterback. But that could be handled by just, you know, a veteran being cut. So that's not really an overly big concern. But I think there's some minor moves you can make on offense to help the offense. But by and large, I think that offense is Super Bowl caliber winning offense. With Bijan and Tyler and Drake and, yes, Kyle, and maybe another person, and Penix, and that offensive line. And you know that was the offensive line in the entire NFL? Do you know that? Yeah. I mean, so run the ball. Yeah, so I'm saying to you that I think that this offense is Super Bowl caliber. It's compliments them. We all know the defense was awful. They did not have a defensive passing game coordinator, we found out, after Jimmy Lake was fired, and they were confused in the back end. But I think if they can make, in my world, I don't care about this draft. Look, you have drafts that are total misses, and you can go back over every team has a draft. Now, unfortunately for the Falcons, they've had a couple of drafts that were total misses. The famous Peter Konst draft. But it wasn't a total miss because in that the reason the Peter Konst draft happened was because you sold your soul to get Julio Jones. So the draft is a whopping success because you got Julio Jones because of that draft. So you have to kind of take it in context. So if they were to trade their number one pick this year and maybe something else like their number four pick or something else to try to get a Myles Garrett, if you got a Myles Garrett in here and you go, you know, we have a second round pick and we have like a sixth round pick, they have 2 sevenths. Because right now they have a first, a second, a fourth, and 2 sevenths. That's all they got. Now we're going to trade away the one and the four. But you're going, yeah, but you're getting Myles Garrett. It's like drafting Myles Garrett. My answer is yes. Draft 95. So would I sell out the draft to get Myles Garrett? You betcha. Because I think one guy can change and shift everything for Jeff Ulbrich. Because finally, other quarterbacks have got to go, where's that 95 guy? And now does that free 97? Does that change how you can use Ebikadie? What does Braylon Trice do? Does he get one-on-one? Do you change how you use Caden? No, it changes the dynamic of the front seven to have a guy like Myles Garrett. To me, I don't really care about the draft. What I care about is Myles Garrett. And I think the Falcons should make a serious, concerted run to get him. What do you say? And then we'll talk Braves, too, coming up here. And I want to hear from all you Braves fans. So, Hawks, Falcons, Braves. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about the Braves. Wednesday's pitchers and catchers. It's all ahead with John Fricke on this Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.